Welcome to episode 20 of the Tyre Recycling Podcast. I'm Richard Wilson, a contributor to Tyre and Rubber Recycling. Ewan Scott, the editor of the magazine, is on hand as well. Ewan, last time we talked to Kedar Murthy, the CCO of Boston Materials, and Kedar spoke in depth about the development of the tyre pyrolysis sector, sustainable materials, recycled carbon fibre, and related subjects. But moving on to today's episode, who are we talking to today?
Well, today we have a little bit of a change of direction. We've been talking a lot about pyrolysis recently, but another potentially huge market is rubberized asphalt. So rubberized asphalt's been around since the 60s. And despite all the evidence that says rubberized asphalt is a positive use of tyre powders, governments and the road industry, the transport industry, have been reluctant to develop it for a number of reasons. So the use of rubberized asphalt or rubber modified bitumen in Europe has been very low. Spain is the leading market with some 6,000 kilometres laid with rubberized asphalt. Italy has been using rubberized asphalt sporadically in local projects. But now there has been a move that has been fronted by Equinews, and we're going to speak to Giovanni Corbetta, the Chief Executive Officer of Equinews, the main EPR agency in Italy, about the latest developments in rubberized asphalt in Italy.
Brilliant. Well, Giovanni Corbetta is a very well-known figure within the Italian tyre recycling circles. So I'm sure this will be a very interesting listen. It's good to step away from tyre pyrolysis and look at rubberized asphalt, which I'm sure not just in Italy, it's growing in its usage, as you said, in Spain. I remember we've seen quite a few stories in Australia regarding rubberized asphalt as well.
Yeah. The Australians have a different set of drivers, as it were, for using rubberized asphalt. The Australians don't have a domestic rubber industry. Therefore, the drive to put rubber back into rubber doesn't really exist there. So their options are pyrolysis, or mainly for the oil recovery, and rubberized asphalt. They're the two main markets. So the Australians see a lot of in Europe, unfortunately. It's 27, 28, 29 different sets of legislation that and sets of approvals that need to be gone through to see rubberized asphalt put into use on the roads. I'm a bit vague about the numbers in Europe because sometimes with Turkey, UK is now out of it. Is Norway in or out? Is Switzerland in or out? essentially, every country needs to approve it. And we're at the stage now where Italy essentially has approved it, and it can be used in any road in Italy now.
Brilliant. Well, I'm sure this conversation with Giovanni Corbetta will be very fascinating. So let's get straight on with it. Here is our full interview with Giovanni Corbetta.
Giovanni. It's good to speak to you again. Last time we spoke was at Auto Promotech a couple of years back. Recently, Equinews has released some news about rubberized asphalt in Italy. Can you bring us up to speed with the situation? Is the market growing there?
Yes. First of all, very. I thank you very much for this opportunity to update you, because you are following us. We have been always following us very, very well, and we like to remain in very good contact with you and with your magazine. Returning to your question, It has been a very good year from the point of view of rubber asphalt in Italy, in spite of the general difficulties we had, as in all Europe, so no words about the criticality. We have been suffering, and we are, of course, still suffering. However, in 2020, we have been able to obtain the most important document needed for the development of the asphalt rubber. It is the end of waste status of the fine powder obtained by the recycling of end-of-life tire. In Italy, we have a very severe rules about waste. It doesn't mean that everything is working well, it's going on well, because one side is rules, one side is the application, one side is the control. But from the point of view of rules, we are probably in one of the most complicated structure in Europe. And because of this point, if you want to follow strictly the rules, you have a lot of difficulties. And our problem was the possibility to demonstrate that the powder, the fine powder, produced by the recycling of end-of-life tires was abandoning the status of waste, becoming a material. We had some approvals or some documents in single provinces. Italy is divided in 100 provinces, and each single province had in the past the authority to approve or to authorize the status of material. But the national body, the national agency, were not relying on such local approvals and were looking and are looking for national documents. So about this problem, the point was to obtain by the Minister of Environment a formal decree stating that under certain conditions, end-of-life tires properly treated, properly analyzed from some point of view, could generate materials, and one of the best applications of this material is the asphalt rubber. We got such a document in July 2020, and there was a great success because it took 5 years, more than 5 years, to arrive to this declaration. But as was promised by the National Agency for Roads, as soon as this document was delivered, they have been in position to introduce the use of asphalt rubber in their specification. Consider that in Italy, the owner of the road could be different. We have provincial roads, municipality roads, and national roads, but all of them are referring to the specifications and the testing and the technical document of the national agency. The name of which is national agency in Italy is ANAS. And they, in a certain way, give heavy influence on all roads of Italy. Well, they are now very close, probably they have already introduced, we are waiting day by day, the confirmation that finally, because of that recognition of the status, the fine powder is one of the ingredients for the pavement of some roads, specifically those who are needing to contribute to the reduction of noise, because they recognize that this advantage is very important in order to pave roads in Italy which are very noisy, and in some cases we are out of the official European limit. So there is a need to have a contribution from the pavement, not only from the barriers, which in some cases cannot be positioned. And so starting from this type of problem, we are now really hoping to enter very soon, not in experiment, because we did a lot of experiment. In Italy, in this moment, we have 600 kilometers of road paved with asphalt rubber. Different type of road, on mountains, in the valley, in the southwest region, where the temperature is quite hot in summer, or in the mountain, where for a few months the roads are covered by ice. And in all cases, we had a very good response. But these have been tests. Now we are looking not for additional tests, but for real application in a very large extent.
So you've taken it, because I have read reports of test stretches of road in Turin and Emilia Reggio, and one of the benefits that has been reported has been the noise reduction, which you mentioned in your answer. What role has Ecomnews taken in developing the use of rubberized asphalt?
I would say that in Italy we have been really the body who has conducted such type of battles, such type of long history to arrive to the conclusion. Because since our beginning in 2011, we started dedicated a lot of attention to face with the different problems. And we had to, in order to arrive to this conclusion, to the current conclusion, we had to make some very different points. First of all, to demonstrate in different application that this type of material, the conglomerate, is not creating problems to the companies who are making the new pavement. Traditional machinery without special modification can operate, and this is very important in order to eliminate the risk of investment or to have excuses of new investment for refusing such application. So we convinced a lot of industries on this point. Second, we demonstrated a real reduction of noise. We have thousands and thousands of data, of course, collected by third party, and we can demonstrate to everybody that in all applications there has been an incredible reduction of noise. In some cases, of course, comparing the new road with the old road, so there are different components in the reduction of noise. However, we reach even 6-7 decibels of dB of reduction, which is absolutely incredible. But in all cases, we always got at least 3-4 dB. Then we had to convince about the, and this is very difficult, the long life of the road. Difficult because in order to demonstrate that there is a long life, in theory, we should wait for 20 years. But this, of course, has not been possible till now, but surely through tests in labs, but also showing that after 10 years, so half of the period, however, the first roads are still wonderful. We have two or three roads that have been paved in 2010, so we were not yet completely operating at that time, but we participated, however, to some initiative, and those roads in three parts of Italy are like new now. I mean, after 10 years, they seem new. We made some tests with people, and some people said, oh, but this has been done last month, months ago. No, it's been done 10 years ago, because the surface of the road is perfect, and so the hope that a second life or an additional 10 years will be performed becomes more and more logical and visible. And it means that we supported with application, with demonstration, with a lot of communication, with a lot of tests, in order to convince the different parties who had some different different opinions, some different doubts. Because as you can imagine, the companies operating, or the authorities, or the public had a different question, different point of view, different doubts, and we one by one dismantled all different considerations. Just to tell you an example, we a couple of years ago we also made an agreement with the army. Italian army has probably most of the armies have departments who are able to pave roads. They do for internal use, internal to their barracks, but also they do because when Italian troops go abroad, in some cases, they have to pave locally some roads. Or this department is also intervening when we have earthquake or damages in collapse and so on. So they have equipment and people able to pave. And we also wanted to demonstrate to such specific operators, again, the advantages resulting from the asphalt rubber, but also the absolute neutrality changing from a traditional conglomerate to this specific conglomerate. So I will really, and of course, for any result, we use communication to spread out the information. We have been and we are a member of the Italian Association of Companies Paving Roads in order to be able to make a large, very large diffusion of result, experiences, and good opportunities.
Okay, so we've the rubberized asphalt market, I believe, has huge potential. This comes at a time when the crumb rubber market is under threat. And I don't want to go into the crumb rubber issue with you at the moment because that's a whole different ballgame. But do you think rubberized asphalt has the potential to help replace the losses that we might see in crumb rubber?
You touch a point that has been in my mind since the early beginning. The fact that when I approached the treatment of end-of-life tire, one of the first important elements that came to my mind was that I was entering in a type of activity in which the waste, even if recycled, is not returning in the same type of product. And I have a lot of admiration for people who treat aluminium or copper or iron or wood or glass, because all of these materials, this waste, are easily reintroduced in the same industry that is generating the product and then the waste. So there is a real cycle in which more you produce, more waste you have, and more you need of a new material which can come from a recycling activity. On the contrary, as you know well, rubber is not unfortunately re-entering, at least till now, unless 1-3% in the rubber industry. So we have to look for a welcome by other industries. We have to go in sport activity, we have to go in building construction, we have to go to real many different organizations, entities, industries, who sometimes do not know well properly this type of material, and we have to convince them that it's possible to get a good result from this material, in spite that is coming from a recycling operation. We have not to convince a foundry of aluminium that you can transform a can of beer in something, in a bicycle made by aluminium. I mean, really, in my opinion, some sectors are really in a good condition for closing the circle inside. But we have to find such type of hospitality. And unfortunately, when you are a guest, sometimes you are welcome, sometimes not. So from the beginning, I had the idea to differentiate as much as possible the product and the possible application in order to compensate. In order, if football turf is reducing the consumption of granules, we hope to have an alternative application. And surely road can be also by volume, which can require a good application for replacing, for being additional, I hope, but in case also for replacing some more traditional solution. So if Crab Rumber is going to find obstacles in some application, I hope to be ready with some others in order to replace. And this is why we are looking to other applications beyond the roads, for example, in the growth of animals, flowers, where there is an animal, a cow, a horse, a pig, can be in rubber. I mean, in some countries it's already in use, this application, not in Italy. We are looking to the construction in terms of possibility to reduce the transmission of noise. We look to the railway systems, metro and train, in order to reduce the vibration and the noise transmitted by the train, in order to have possibly many parallel applications and to be ready to suffer if one is entering in some crisis, because we do not dominate those type of industries. It is not the industry. I can probably have a certain influence within tire industry as a Copenhagen, but not in the system of football turf. And if an association of sport is deciding not to use a certain material, we are, as I said, sometimes a welcome guest, but sometimes not. So differentiation as a good practice for those who have the responsibility of recycling tires.
Okay. You mentioned alternatives. We need alternative markets, and the rubber does not stand alone. In every sector there is competition from other products. I was going to ask you if there are comparable tests being carried out between rubber modified bitumen and a plastic or polymer modified bitumen, because we have a massive global issue with plastics, and I see news reports about plastic or polymer modified bitumen based on dealing with plastic waste. Is that a challenge for rubberized asphalt?
I, as you know, have been working for 30 years in the tire industry. So I spent all my life in rubber, and I am one of the person considering that among the two polymers, rubber is much better than plastic, but that is just nostalgia and traditional approach. No, I have good information about rubber, not so much about plastic, also because plastic, as you know well, is really very different materials. I mean, it's a very large family, very, very big, very large, with a lot of differentiation inside. While tires, in spite of being produced in different parts of the world, larger, bigger, smaller, are very much more similar in terms of chemistry. So probably some plastic can be much closer to rubber result, some other not. But I hope that in most of application, also at least for rubber, we can find the solution that can face the problem of microplastic. I know that some application are under the microscope, are under the magnifier of authorities, because in those conditions, the risk can be, I mean, there is a possibility of a certain risk to evaluate, also depending on how, for example, a football turf is designed and is treated during the life of the application. But there are a lot of applications to which we are looking, in which we put ourselves in a very safe condition. And you mentioned plastic and rubber. We are developing, and even in this case, we are already getting some good initial significant positive result, what we call tire plast. It means that we are studying very, very deeply, and we are making a lot of experiences about the possibility to mix, to make a compound in which there are recycled plastic and recycled rubber. in order that we have some advantages from one material and some advantages from the other material. Very simply, the rubber is gaining some mechanical performance, and the plastic is giving the glue, the link, is a material for recomposing the solidity. Well, if you consider some object made with, we have already spun some entire plast, we have something that looks like a plastic product, but with a very different physical characteristic. For example, changing less in spite of the change of temperature. If you have such tire plus panels in the full sun or in the cold temperature, the material is not changing so much as a pure plastic material, the behavior. Also in terms of resistance to some shocks, if you use a hammer on such material, some of this material looks more resistant than a pure plastic. So we are now trying to make a marriage between the two material, and if we will be successful, probably we solve another part of our problem, and indirectly we give a contribution also to plastic, again with with object which are far from the risk of releasing the microplastic as it happens in some other application.
Okay, that sounds...
We try not to, as I said before, we try not to stop because really we believe that in different cycles, in the medium long time, we will have positive and negative and positive and negative, but application by application. But if we manage many of them, we can manage properly our main responsibility of accommodate a certain quantity of end of life tire, which is our duty, our main duty, the reason why we have been founded.
Okay, this has been fascinating, and you've given an insight into rubberized asphalt, and you've hinted at I think what would be a polymer rubber blend project that you're working on. That's interesting. It's something that I know the automotive industry would be interested in. There's been some work on that at EcoRub in Sweden.
Consider even that also when I mentioned that we consider that we have been playing a certain good role in the development, we care also very much any aspect of about the health, the good behavior in respect of a human body. For example, with Alpha Rubber, we made a lot of tests during the paving operation, because during the paving operation, the material reached 160, 170 degrees. So what is not happening at normal temperature could be different at high temperature. So we wanted to be sure that the operators who are working to renew the road are not suffering any problem because to the asphalt has been added rubber. And also in this case, we have a lot of documentation. We gave the documentation to the Italian authorities, and this is another contribution to support the development of a certain application.
And there you have it, the full interview with Giovanni Cobetta, the Chief Executive Officer of Ecopneus. For those who are not familiar with the Italian tyre recycling sector UN and also not so familiar with the use of rubberized asphalt, what was the significance for you in that interview?
The key takeaway in this is the fact that Ecopneus in the main has been prime mover in getting rubberized asphalt approved by the Italian government. This takes the use of rubberized asphalt in Italy from small stretches 400 meters, a kilometer perhaps, used mainly for noise reduction, where bypasses are going past urban areas or residential areas. It takes it from that to a mainstream product that could be used on highways, the autostrada, main roads, city streets. It can be used anywhere. And some of the most industrialized and populous states in Italy are starting to use rubberized bitumen more widely, which becomes a game changer for the industry. It opens up the market because instead of supplying a few thousand tons to the bitumen producers, they're now going to be supplying many thousands of tons to the bitumen producers. That changes things. It gives the producers the confidence to invest in the equipment and the processes to create the powders, and it gives the bitumen people the same incentives to invest in their technology to make this rubberized bitumen more widely used in Italy. To be fair, Ecobonus have been a main player, but they've not been the only player in this. There have been other associations. ETRA, the European Tyre Recycling Association, has had a bit to do with this, particularly around Turin. So it's good to see that this market is starting to open up. This follows on from the news of the plant in Hungary that is producing polymer rubber modified bitumen, and also TRS in Switzerland, who are currently running trials comparing rubberized asphalt with polymer modified bitumen, so rubber versus plastics. So we're starting to see a lot of movement in the use of rubberized asphalt in Europe. And hopefully we'll see better roads and fewer potholes in the future.
Yeah, that's always one of the gripes of people when their roads aren't up to scratch, moaning about the potholes. But returning to the topic of today's podcast, where do you think this puts Italy as a country in the use of rubberized asphalt? You spoke before in the introduction about Spain using rubberized asphalt a lot on its motorways, and you spoke before about Switzerland as well. Where do you think this puts Italy in European terms?
In European terms, I think Italy will catch up on Spain quite rapidly in the use of rubberized asphalt. Other countries are being a bit slower. There's been a number of technologies. We're seeing it being used in the UK, where I need to be careful. The technology was buried by one particular company for many, many years, and it was only when that company was broken up a couple of years back that we started to see rubberized asphalt being used in the UK. So it's on the up. The thing in Italy is the Italian government has always been pro-recycling. We see it in the retreading, where they have mandated the percentage of tyres used on government vehicles has been set, so they have to use retreaded tyres. That's in order to boost the retread sector in Italy, but it also helps with recycling. If the Italian government is turning around and saying, we want you to use rubberized asphalt in road building, then that is a massive boost to the industry, because in most European countries, the government doesn't get involved in the same way. It will say, yeah, we've approved this, and it's up to you whether you use it or not. In most European countries, the government say, yeah, this is approved for use in road building or construction, whatever, but they don't actually mandate its use. They don't proactively go out and say, we'd like you to use this. They could specify it in contracts for highways, but in most countries they don't. In Italy, I don't pretend to understand how the Italian bureaucracy works. I think an awful lot of Italians don't understand how it works. But there's a greater, let's put it this way, there's a greater likelihood of rubberized asphalt taking off and working in Italy now that it has these approvals and the backing of the government.
Absolutely. Well, that's all for today's episode of the Tyre Recycling Podcast. Please remember to subscribe on YouTube and or if you're listening to us on any other podcast platform to sign up to notifications or subscribe through there. We'll be back in a few weeks for episode 21 of the podcast. Until then, goodbye.